For our study this morning, I want to invite your attention to a passage from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. I want to read verses 1 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And Paul also deals with this idea of the mystery that was revealed as he wrote to the church in Ephesus, book of Ephesians. There in last number of years, there has been a revival of, for lack of a better expression, the Pentecostal idea of feeling being reliable and authoritative. It has been variously described in days gone by as a better felt than told feeling. Some religious organizations refer to it as an experience of grace, or feelings as proof of salvation. This idea is a twin to the idea of the guidance of the Holy Spirit, separate and apart from the Word. These ideas, to some degree, are creeping into the Lord's church, or at least some who claim to be the Lord's church. And these ideas are threatening even conservative churches of the Lord in various places. It has special appeal to those who have little or no feeling, or little or no emotion in their religious practices. I understand that feelings and emotions are indeed involved in religion. Scripture very plainly teaches we're to put our whole heart into our service to God. We're to worship God in spirit and in truth, Jesus told Nicodemus. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That idea of spirit is that of feeling or emotions. But these feelings and emotions are never to be used in telling us what the truth is or what we need to have in order to have salvation. We understand the weaknesses of this particular idea from our everyday experiences. If you go to the store and you pick up an item and you bring it up to the cash register and you say, well, I think this ought to be about a dollar. You think they're going to take your word for it? Just because you think that's what it ought to be? No, they're going to check the price. We understand that. Merchants don't trust feelings of customers. We understand this every day we shop. Nor do customers trust the feelings of a merchant. If I bring an item to the cash register and the cashier says, well, I think this ought to be about $2 and no price tag on it, And I might say, well, the bin tag says $1 or whatever the case may be. And then they check the price. We as customers don't trust feelings of even an honest merchant. A merchant doesn't trust the feelings of even an honest customer. We understand that. Feelings are more hazardous, certainly, where the soul of mankind is at stake. But there are those who place their full confidence and their trust regarding the salvation of their soul to just their feelings. They'll make statements like, well, I just feel like this is right. I can feel it right here. Well, you don't have your feelings here in the first place. Not from an intellectual standpoint. The Bible heart is the mind. I've had people make statements to me. I'd rather put confidence in what I feel right here than a stack of Bibles this high. People do put their trust and their confidence in their emotions. For our study this morning, I want to examine this idea of feelings or feelings versus revelation. In the text that we read from, as Paul talked to the church in Corinth, he said he did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom. He's talking about secular wisdom. Declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined I didn't know anything among you save Jesus Christ, Him crucified. Then in verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul recognized the distinction between the wisdom of men and the power of God. So think with me for a little while about this idea of feeling or revelation. I suggest to you, first of all, that feelings are of men. Revelation is from God. You remember in Genesis chapter 1, there, verse 27, God created man in His image. Man is indeed in the image of God. Not from a physical standpoint, but man has the ability to think, to reason, to know, and to understand. We understand that even though we're created in the image of God, feeling is indeed human. It is the function of a human man. God gave to man a commandment. Don't eat of the tree in the middle of the garden. Well, that means that man had the ability to determine which tree that was. Tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of it. The day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Man had the ability to make a choice. That came from the human man. And these feelings are determined as man participates in various life experiences. What I think and what you think is in a large part, in fact, primarily determined by our life experiences. It may be our education. It may be from the, as we say sometimes, school of hard knocks. We got our education in that way. From experience, trial and error. We may have learned a lot of things, but all of these are of human origin. To understand that revelation originates in the mind of God. It was made known to man through the Holy Spirit, a reference earlier, Ephesians the 3rd chapter. There in verse 4, Paul said, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now made known or revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. God's mind, what He wanted men to know, in other ages was not known. It was a mystery. The prophets searched diligently. They wanted to know. But it wasn't revealed until after Christ came. It was revealed to the apostles. This was the mystery that before had not been made known, was now revealed unto us holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. These things are revealed from the mind of God. It was right and is absolutely necessary for us to respond to divine revelation with obedience, as we noted earlier. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, Paul said, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That word that's translated fervent indicates the idea of something that is white hot. It suggests the idea of intense feelings. Fervent in spirit. Thus involved in our service to God. In Acts chapter 2, there verse 41, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day they added them about 3,000 souls. You notice the phrase there, gladly received his word. That demonstrates an attitude of heart. It involves the action of believing. And remember, what the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confess the made in salvation. Romans 10, verse 10. The heart. Certainly, our feelings, our emotions are involved in our response to divine revelation. But the feelings or emotions that we experience do not determine whether a practice or a belief is right or wrong. Feelings or emotions never, ever determine the rightness or the wrongness of a particular practice. Only revelation from God determines that which is right. You remember the experience that Naaman had in 2 Kings chapter 5, when he was directed to go to the prophet, and the prophet could cure him of his leprosy. He went first to the king. The king was angry. But he wound up getting to the prophet. The prophet sent a servant out there, told him to go dip 7 times in the River Jordan and be cleansed. In 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 11, it says, Naaman was wroth or angry and went away and said, Behold, I thought, build an entire lesson around those three words. Behold, I thought. This is Naaman's response. Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. This is the way Naaman perceived, the way he felt in his heart, that the prophet would cure him of his leprosy. But that wasn't God's will. You remember what Naaman's servant suggested to him? If the master had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much more when he said, wash and be clean? Just do what the prophet directed you to do. That's the will of God. Naaman thought, but God revealed through his prophet. So feeling is of men, revelation is from God. Feelings are unreliable. Revelation is reliable. In Jeremiah chapter 10, there verse 23, Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man to walk it, to direct his steps. Jeremiah says very plainly that man does not have the capability of directing his own affairs. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, there Isaiah says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Isaiah is here giving the Lord's word. This is what God said. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's ways and man's ways, God's thoughts and man's thoughts, are as much different as they is, but the distance between the heaven and earth. Now, I don't know how far that is. I don't know how far the heavens extend out there. I know with our technology, we've been a long way out there in space, and it's still there. They haven't been to the end. God said, that's how far my thoughts and my ways exceeds man's ways and thoughts. God is true. John chapter 3, verse 33. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, Paul would say, God forbid, yet let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, thou mayest be justified in thy saying, that mightest overcome with our judge. Let God be true, but every man a liar. John 17 and verse 17, sanctify them to thy truth. Thy word is true. And so what we're suggesting to you is that the scriptures, the God's revelation to man, indicates whether or not a teaching, belief, or practice is right or wrong. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, Paul commends those people in Berea. Said they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of man and searched the scripture daily whether those things were so. They received the word with all readiness of man and searched the scripture to see if what they had been told was true, because they understood that scripture, that which is revealed from God, it's true. As Paul would say to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Scripture. Given by God. And it will direct the affairs of man. Our feelings are unreliable. Our thoughts are different from God's thoughts. Our ways are different from God's ways. God's ways and thoughts are far superior to ours. And so our thoughts, our feelings are unreliable. But God's word, his revelation, is reliable, it's truth. Here's another thought. Feelings make scripture unwanted, unneeded. But revelation makes feelings unnecessary, unneeded. That is in determining what's right. Now, obviously, as we've already noted, there's an extent that we need feelings, we need emotions. There are a lot of situations in life where we exhibit a lot of different emotions. We experience joy, we experience sadness. I just went to the visitation for a first cousin of mine yesterday. She wasn't a Christian. It's very sad. We experience those kinds of emotions. We experience great joy in many, in various relationships of life. We recently attended the wedding of two of our grandchildren. It was a happy, joyous occasion. A lot of emotion involved in it. But none of these emotions are essential. None of them are necessary in determining what's right. When feeling is taken to its logical end, it diminishes and eliminates desire for God's word, the truth. Just as we noted earlier, people will pat themselves on the chest and say, I'd rather trust what I feel right here than a stack of Bibles this high. Those feelings or those emotions become truth for that person. I suggest to you the Jews did this. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. Why? It goes on and gives a reason why. It was necessary for the word to be spoken to them. He said, but seeing you put it from you, they had put the truth away from themselves. It was necessary that it be spoken first to you, he said. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. They had begun to trust their feelings instead of the revealed word of God. In fact, Romans chapter 10 and verse 3, there the text says that they rejected God's righteousness and went about to establish their own righteousness and had not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. The first part of that verse is that they be ignorant of God's righteousness. They come to a point in their life when they did not know God's will and had established their own righteousness. That's exactly what has happened in our society today. People have rejected God's word and established their own system based on their feeling. However, Revelation is designed so no feelings or emotion of man is needed to even comprehend the testimony of the Bible, God's word. I don't need joy or sorrow. I don't need elation and all of those kinds of feelings to determine whether or not something is true from God's word or not. I just need to read it and accept it. Believe it to be God's word. Remember Romans 10:17? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. We noted in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, the word is capable of making us complete. All scripture given by God is profitable for doctrine, proof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. King James says perfect. Thoroughly or thoroughly furnished in every good work. It will furnish us with everything that we need. In Psalm 19, there, verse 7, David said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The psalm with those sentiments in it that we sing sometimes. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. That's God's will, God's written revelation to man. It has all things that we need. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, according to his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. All things that pertain to life and godliness have been given to us. It's given in Scripture. And so feeling makes Scripture unwanted. But revelation makes feeling unnecessary in regard to determining truth or right. Don't go away and say, Jerry said that we don't have to have any feeling at all in our worship. That's not true. Emotions are directly involved in our assemblies when we worship God. We have to put feeling, emotion into our assembly. When we observe the Lord's Supper, we're remembering that great sacrifice, and certainly it sometimes even brings tears to our eyes when we think about what Jesus did for us. So yes, emotions are involved. But they're not needed to determine what's truth or right. Because you see, feelings vary with the person, with circumstances, or belief. You hear people say, well, I believe this. Someone else says, well, I believe that. Well, which one is right? You can have two people that witness the same automobile accident and put them on the stand to give their testimony, and in most instances, you'll get different or various insights as to exactly what happened. I know this is true. My sister went with us yesterday, and we got to reminiscing about old times. And you know what? She remembered things a whole lot different the way I remembered them. Our memories are not perfect. And so these feelings or these emotions vary with different individuals or different circumstances or different belief systems. But I suggest to you that revelation remains constant and never changes. God's will has been the same for us for almost 2,000 years. It doesn't change. Feelings differ when there is no common standard. Years ago, Dottie and my sister and other ladies I knew, my mother, used to go to the fabric store and buy material. And I remember seeing that yardstick mounted on the counter. And the clerk would take those yard goods and measure them by that yardstick. But you know what I've seen my mother do? She'd take a piece of cloth and she'd do this. Well, that was about a yard. But I can tell you, it depends on the length of your arm, how far you turn your nose over, as to whether or not that's a yard or not. You can't be sure because you haven't used a common standard. We understand that. Where in the world would we be in space exploration if we didn't have a common standard that everybody used? We understand that idea. Sometimes feelings are in direct opposition to each other. Very circumstances alter a person's feeling toward some particular idea. And when people's opinions or their beliefs change, their feelings also change. We can see this in Scripture. In Acts 26, there, verse 9, the record of Saul of Tarsus, or actually he was Paul at this point in his life. His name had been changed from Saul to Paul. But he said about himself, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I thought. That's what Naaman said. But now Saul's feelings, his thoughts, he was confident were based on Scripture. He had sat at the feet of Gamaliel, the great teacher of the law. He was learned in all the law. He excelled above all of his equals in the Pharisee, the sect of the Pharisees. He said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, the strictest sect of the Pharisees. He was sure that what he understood, what he believed, was the truth. He was so sure that he was persecuting Christians, putting them in prison, condemning them to death. It was at his feet that the people laid their clothes when they stoned Stephen to death. Saul of Tarsus was sure, but he was mistaken. When he came in contact with the Lord, and the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. His heart could be kicked against the pricks. King James Version used that. In your translation, used the word goads. A goad was a long pointed stick that was used to direct the oxen in the way that the owner wanted them to go. And this is a reference to Scripture. Jesus said to the Jews on one occasion that they had rejected his teaching to keep their own tradition. Saul, when he came to understand, when he came face to face with the Lord and understood that Jesus was indeed the Christ, he changed his feelings. He changed his belief. Sometimes feelings are affected by the feelings of others. And at times we have warned our children about running with the crowd. I remember very vividly my dad not allowing me to go down to the store. It was about a half a mile from the house where a lot of the boys gathered there to play basketball. But some of them were sort of unsavory characters. My dad didn't want me to be with that crowd. Because he understood the things that they participated in, the things that they practiced, were not good, they were not right. And my feelings, my emotions, my belief system could have been affected by the association with some of those boys who assemble there together. Understand that the standard of God's word never changes. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28 verse 18, all authority has been given unto me both in heaven and on earth. Jesus says all authority. If he has all of it, I don't have any. He said to his disciples, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And in Luke 16 and verse 17, Jesus said, it's easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. The tittle, the jot, the tittle was like the dotting of an I and the crossing of a T in our language today. And he says, it's easier for one of these to pass away than, easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one of these to pass away. It's part of his word. The smallest particle of his word will not fail. And so, feelings lack divine authority. Feelings are not supported by divinity. But revelation is supported by divinity. And there's divine testimony of the ages behind it. There is no passage that properly understood that would support the idea of feelings being authoritative. Scripture definitely shows that feelings are not necessary in determining truth or right. They're not necessarily in accord with divine testimony. Remember Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says, there's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Just because it seems like it'd be right to me, that doesn't make it right. Divine testimony says men must teach, receive, obey, abide in, and be judged according to God's divine revelation. Remember Matthew 28? All authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. John 12, verse 48, he that rejected men receiveth not my word, hath one that judges him the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered, being then made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. 2 John, verse 9, that whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. It becomes abundantly clear. The divine revelation has testimony of the ages behind it. It goes all the way back to the beginning of time. When God said what he wanted man to do and not do. Feeling or revelation? I suggest to you the God of the Bible is a revealed God. The knowledge of his will is revealed in Scripture. That the way of salvation is a revealed way. And that all acts of worship and service pleasing to God are revealed acts. We don't have to be left to our own interpretation, our own thinking, to know what we need to be doing in our service to God. He revealed it to us. And so there is no place in God's scheme of redemption for feelings in determining truth or right. John 17 and verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. No matter what man says or does, God's word is truth. John 8 and verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, which one do you want to rely on? You want to rely on feeling, or you want to rely on revelation? I'll tell you, I don't want to trust my own feelings. Well, sometimes in matters that are inconsequential, my feelings are wrong. I turned the wrong road twice yesterday. Thought I was turning the right place. Both times is wrong. I'd turn around and go back or find another way. I don't want to trust my feelings in matters of salvation. I want to put my trust, my confidence in revelation. And that which had been revealed from the God of heaven. Because he's ultimately the one who's going to save me. He's the one who provided the way so that I can be saved. And if you're in this audience this morning and you realize that you've been putting your confidence in what you think and what you feel like is right, I'd urge you to give very sober and very serious consideration to that. And begin to examine Scripture. To see if what you've been taught or what you feel is actually the truth. Because it's only the truth that will make you free. And if you think there's something that we have taught or we practice that is not according to truth, we want to know about that. Because we want to practice the truth. But if you understand that you're not, you can begin to practice it today. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you can do that. I believe in Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, repenting of your sin, confessing your faith in him, and then being immersed in water for the remission of your sin. And in so doing, the Lord will then add you to his family, the church. If you have obeyed the gospel and at some point in time you have ceased following his will and began to follow your own desires, your own thinking, you need to return to him, repenting of your sin, and asking his forgiveness. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing for you in Christ.